Your dreams are bigger, bolder, and more badass than the life you're living now, but something just keeps getting in the way. Join certified coach and former therapist Diane Wingert for the Driven Woman podcast. She'll show you how to get rid of whatever is holding you back so you can stop spinning your wheels and up-level your life. Get ready to hop in and buckle up. This is the Driven Woman podcast, and we're heading for the fast lane.
Well, hey there, and welcome back to my fellow Driven Women. You know, some of the most popular episodes on the Driven Woman are my client success stories, and I am going to keep on bringing them. Today's guest, Tracy Watts Serino, was already a successful 20-plus year beauty industry leader and small business owner when she decided to hire me to help her figure out why she wasn't reaching what I call her next level goals, her full potential. On the outside, like so many of us, Tracy appeared to have all the things: a happy long-term marriage, two thriving kids, a super successful business, and even a book that was mostly written. But she was frustrated by the daily challenges of running a service-based business, often felt misunderstood by others, and just couldn't seem to create the systems she needed that were both simple and sustainable. And what she didn't understand about how her brain works was really holding her back. Luckily for Tracy, that's my zone of genius. You will enjoy our conversation, where we will catch up on some amazing changes Tracy has made and how she completely transformed her business during the pandemic, finished and published her business book, and even launched a podcast. Some of the highlights are: is it perfectionism or giftedness that makes you so driven? Tracy's lifelong habit of asking, "Does that make sense?" and how she was finally able to give it up. How being a leader with ADHD means we need to show up differently. And the identity transformation from "I am too much" to "I am a force for good." You are really going to enjoy this interview. Now, this week's podcast review is a little bit longer than normal, but I just have to share it because it just warms my heart. This one is from Tanyi, screen name, who also happens to be one of my clients. Here's what she has to say about the Driven Woman podcast. Diane is truly a force to be reckoned with. She is second to none when it comes to truly understanding, working with, and transforming the lives of women with ADHD. I lost track of how many years of therapy, medication changes, misdiagnoses I experienced, only to hit a dead end in the middle of anxiety and depression. I first heard Diane on another podcast, and I knew I had to hear more from this woman. Despite knowing how gifted I was, my challenges with ADHD and my skewed perspective on it left me feeling like an absolute failure in every area of my life. I felt like I had tried everything under the sun until Diane. Hearing her talk about radical self-acceptance challenged the way I saw myself, and I began to change my life faster than a set of falling dominoes. After becoming a client, the huge roadblocks in my life became puzzle pieces I just needed to rearrange. It really does all start with your mindset. I have made more progress with Diane in a few weeks than in all my years of trying to make things better on my own. Seriously, if you have not subscribed to this podcast yet, you need to pull over at the next stop and hit that subscribe button. Better yet, create the opportunity to work with her. Your life will never be the same. Can I just say how grateful I am for clients and reviews like this one? Without further delay, I can't wait to share this week's client success story with my client and friend, Tracy Watts Serino. I know you're going to enjoy it. Well, Tracy, I know that we have both been counting down the days to reconnect, and I wish everybody could hear the last 30 minutes that we have been chatting before pressing record. But as we always say, there's way more juicy goodness where that came from. So I welcome my very special guest and client, Tracy Watts Serino.
Oh, thank you, Diane. I am so grateful to be here. I've been looking forward to it so much.
You're going to love learning about Tracy, because Tracy was a person who, when she first started working with me, did not actually know she was gifted. She knew that she had ADHD and didn't really think it was all that interesting, didn't really think it was all that important, didn't really understand how much it impacted her life. But what she did know, and the reason that she hired me, is that she's a visionary, she's a creative, she has lots and lots of great ideas. But she was frustrated by the fact that she couldn't quite close the gap between where she was and where she wanted to be. Now, since then, you have made some incredibly big changes in your business. Could you tell us about where you started, what you were doing when you and I first met? And then we're going to bring them all the way forward with all the incredible things you've done since.
It is funny going back to when we first met, because I was running a very successful business. I have been in the professional salon and beauty industry for all of my life, really. I just love helping people. And the fact that you can empower them to look and feel good is just a cherry on top. Mm-hmm. So I was running a successful salon, but it was like, as things kept getting added on, like more pressure, more stress from like babies, life, the bigger our team got, I was like, instead of this feeling like, oh, wow, it's like a dream come true, you know, because outwardly people are like, oh, aren't you so proud of your, like, look what you've created, aren't you? And I still would be like, but this, like, why did it take this long? We're not even there yet. Like, I just getting harder and harder. And it wasn't the idea of like, oh, you know, just be positive. It was like too much pulling at every which way. It was like beyond that. Like, you can't just like, oh, be positive to get through it. There was like, I'm like, what is wrong with me? I just like cannot connect things. And yes, years prior, they did give me the diagnosis of being, you know, ADHD and like the highest level of overactivity. And I was like, okay, thanks. Like, it was just kind of like that.
Next.
I didn't even tell my mother. I mean, like, nobody, it was not like something I, you know, told anybody. My husband knows, and he kind of like thought it was hilarious. He's like, really, you? Because I don't know what the stigma is.
He didn't see it?
Not really. Because I think there's a stigma of what he thought it was versus how I feel in the world. So it just was kind of like a thing. Well, so I went really on a deep dive looking for like an expert, because I was like, I need somebody that really knows what the F is happening up here. So I went on a deep, like, I called it an archaeological dig for finding you. And I think I said that to you when I first thought, like, it was like, seriously, like, I found all these, like, because I needed, like, I was like, okay, so I'm successful. It's not like I can't get off the couch and send my resume to someone. Like, I've already done 57 things before most people get out of bed. So it wasn't that. And most people don't understand that part either. So it's like, okay, it was like, who can I talk to about this? So I had to find someone that was super successful that knew about, could ADHD have something to do with this? I don't know. So that was the dig of how I found you.
Well, gosh, I'm kind of bummed that I'm that buried so deep. I think I need to do more social media, but no, actually social media is a total rabbit hole. But I will say this, that unfortunately, and I was a therapist for more than 20 years before I became a coach, as you know, and I wasn't identified with ADHD. And I had seen several therapists and several psychiatrists at various points, going through a divorce and you know, different upheavals in my life. And what I discovered is, you know, we exhaust ourselves because we're trying to do so many things and we think we should be able to do so many things and we want to be able to do them to our level of the vision in our mind. And when that falls through because life interferes or we have a trauma or a loss, and we kind of break down and go see somebody, you're going to get diagnosed with anxiety. You're going to get diagnosed with depression. You might have an eating disorder thrown in there or an addiction of some kind. And the therapist and the psychiatrist will see that, will diagnose that, and will treat that. But the ADHD that's been driving the bus your whole life is not going to be identified. And unfortunately, the vast majority of my former colleagues as therapists would not be able to identify a high ability adult woman. And part of the reason is that they don't see the impairment, Tracy. They see the symptoms, and I prefer to call them traits, but we're so good at this level at covering up, hiding, distracting people from noticing, and just drawing attention away from our actual impairments, that all they see is the brilliance. All they see is, wow, you're doing so many things and you're so successful. How could you possibly have a disorder? And I think that's part of the problem. But also, there's just really no training on this. What do you think at the point that you were finally saying, okay, maybe I need to get some help from this and I'm going to go dig out my diamond in the rough? What do you think your biggest struggle was and the pain point that you thought, I have to figure this out, I have to fix this thing?
At that time, I was struggling with, you know, we're always very blessed to have such a great team culture where I think everybody that was our, you know, everybody that was a client of ours, everybody that was on the team, even people that had left and gone on to do their own thing, they would always say that, like, you know, I definitely created such a great place that it wouldn't matter who you went to, the standard of quality was, you know, there because of our training. But that's not done in like a vacuum. It's not easy. You know, there's a lot that goes to it. So people would be attracted into our company, like, I want to work there because it's so amazing and you get the best training. But then to actually hold their feet to the fire where they had to go through the training, they would get mad at me. And like, you know, like then I never wanted to play like that. I'm not their mother. Like, you came here because you wanted this. This is, so it's actually how the book came to be as well, is like through this process of training people, we finally got to the place in the space that I would rather interview 100 people and have only one of them be the right fit than try to convince anybody. Because at the end of the day, I adopted this phrase of, this is what we do here, instead of trying to make it, like, for the longest time, I was trying to make it fit everybody's need, where you were attractive.
Yes.
So that was, I think, the struggle bus. And I don't think I was aware that I was, just because I love people. And when you have potential, I can help you get there. So I think I was allowing too much wiggle. And that's what you helped me through, mostly in my memory of like figuring out that it's okay to say, no, this is what we do here. This is that stance. And that's how Beyond Common, you know, 12 Essentials for Success in Life, and it finally was completed. Like, it was just like this pieces and parts of things that we had done that worked to make us successful. But it was like through that figuring out how to connect everything, and definitely your influence helped me so much. Like, it was like, you know, you're an angel.
You know what? Thank you. That actually, you're taking me back, and I'm realizing you were really frustrated at the time because you are a leader and a teacher. I mean, you teach throughout your industry and it's something you love doing. While you loved running the salon, managing the team, you know, helping your individual clients, you really, really love that role as influencer and leader and teacher on a broader scale. And you're absolutely right. I think a lot of your frustration came from the fact that, not understanding you were gifted, when someone couldn't quite understand the standard that you were setting and the vision that you had created and the one that you were leading them towards and sort of indoctrinating them into, and they said that's what they wanted because they could have worked in any other salon in the city and they chose to work with you, I think you felt almost like a parent, that it was your job to like motivate them as well as teach them. And I think being able to say, this is how we work, this is how we roll, this is our culture, and these are our expectations, you had to kind of get in front of that and really realize it's not only okay for you to have these standards and to have these expectations, it doesn't make any sense at all for you to partner on any level with someone who isn't already there. Like, if you have to convince them, it's one thing to train them and guide them and mentor them. But if you have to convince them that that's what they want, you're done before you start. And like, no wonder you were frustrated. And no wonder you were telling me, I just can't find good people. It's like, I can't believe that I'm hearing you say, I would rather interview 100 people to find one. Like, that is so, your mindset on this is completely changed. And I also remember at that time, you had mostly written the book, but you hadn't finalized the title. That was one of the things we played around with. And it makes so much sense to me now that understanding that and actually saying, no, it's totally okay that this is my standard. These are my expectations. I don't need to sell anybody on that. I just need to make it so clear that the ones who are looking for that will come and be magnetized by it. And has that happened?
Well, that definitely did happen. And I think the thing that was the struggle for me then, I knew I always hired good people. Mm-hmm. I felt that I did something to turn them bad. Like, that was the mirror of me holding on. So that was the thing. It was like, because I did take it all on in the sense that, like, I wasn't questioning if they were good people. I was questioning, like, where the disconnect, like, how did these great people turn into, you know, people that were, you know, always angry.
You spoiled them. You soured them. Yeah.
And that's it. It's like, because, you know, I do have a ton of energy. So it's like, oh, I love that. I want to be a part of it. And so sometimes people want to hitch their wagon to that because it feels good to be around it. But the really great gems and people that really excelled, you know, in our organization were the people that understood their contribution to that. You know, it wasn't like you just came and like fed off the fat of the energy. You had to be a contributor.
Yes.
And that's when it all worked. But I didn't get that because I thought as a leader, it was like always my job. You know,
there's you all thought those, it was all on you.
Always like those are all the leadership books and everything you've ever read that like, you know, people don't quit companies, they quit leaders. It's your, you know, always look in the mirror. And I have no problem with that. You know, like, okay, what could I have done to make this better? What miscommunication? You know, there's always like that moment in time, the conversation that didn't happen, mm-hmm. you know, the one that needed to. So I just didn't know how to connect all that to the point that it's like, you know what? I'm not too much. This is what it is. This is how it's going to be. You are part of it and we welcome your energy and contribution, but we're not going to like give ourselves an easy pass to slide back into like mediocrity. It's just not okay.
No, mediocrity is never going to be part of your identity. It's never going to be part of your message. It's never going to be part of what you offer to the world. And I think that takes some getting used to.
Well, can I tell you something funny? Every stage I've ever spoken on the world over, I have asked that question. How many of you woke up today to be average, to be mediocre? No one raises their hand ever, right? However, they will then fall into habits and patterns that what do you expect you're going to get? You know, if you didn't wake up today to be average or mediocre, then are your actions lining up to be more than that?
Yes. And speaking of habits and patterns, I'm remembering something that you and I worked on. Of course, when people first sign up to work with me, their initial goal is they think I'm going to teach them how to be more efficient so they can do more things because
I have some type of like, maybe this is really, I think it was the first time I was like admitting to myself, maybe I really do have this ADHD. Like there's a short circuit here in my brain. I need a system. I need a strategy. So yeah.
But you're thinking at the time, I think Tracy was that I just need to get more efficient so I can do all the things. In fact, I remember one specific thing was, I think it was on, you were starting a promotion, a product promotion, and you needed to do some videos to help market the products. And it needed to be done on a Sunday so it would be ready to go for Monday. And you were feeling guilty that you were not physically going into the salon on a Sunday to help your staff do the things. And I remember by the end of the time we worked together, you were telling me that you had structured, scheduled CEO time where you could actually pull back and just kind of look at the bigger picture. And as the CEO of your company, whether it's the company that you had then or the company that you have now that we'll get into, you can't be doing the things that the lowest level person in your employment can do. maybe not as well as you, but well enough. And I think that's part of your giftedness, is that you can imagine everything being done to the highest level of your vision, but not everything requires that much perfection. And there's no way you could be where you are now without having given that up a little bit. Another thing that I remember is that you thought, I really need to be more consistent about exercising. And we figured out, okay, how are we going to fit it into your very, very busy life? The only thing that's going to work is that you have to get up at 5 a.m. and go running. And after a couple of weeks, you realized, and I remember you taking one of your sons with you at the time, what you told me was, it's actually easier if I do it 7 days a week, because you get in a roll, your brain has the habit. But would you go back to that moment and share what you was like a total mind-blowing awareness for you when we reached the point where I think you had been running every day for about 3 weeks, and you asked me a question. Do you remember the question?
Yeah. When am I going to want to do this? Was that it? Because I was
That's okay. The one. You're like, I'm running every day. I'm getting up at 5 a.m. and I'm going for a run, and I've been doing it for 3 weeks. So I'm getting the consistency thing going. And you said, so how much longer before I want to? And what did I tell you?
That you're never going to want to. I'm like, what? That's been the disconnect for my entire life. Like, I'm really never going to want to. I just have to do it anyway. And I was like, hey. It just was like so funny. I just had never considered, and that's literally the sabotage that had affected every diet, exercise, probably even when I went to, completely quit smoking at some point, you know, that's probably always the thing that comes up. Like, when are you going to want to? Like, you're not going to, you're just going to do it. It was just like the kid.
And that, I mean, I'm laughing about it now, but I realize it, cause it seems like, wait, what? Like, why is that such a big deal? But it is such a big deal, because that alarm goes off, your wrist vibrates, it's 5 a.m., you glance over at it, tap the button, and your very first thought of the day, every day, is, fuck me, why do I have to do this? Right. And then you remember, I don't have to, I choose to, not because I feel like it. Oh my God, can you imagine if you only did the things you feel like? You never would have finished the book. You never would have launched the podcast, and you never would have completely reinvented your business. You were not dependent on feeling like it anymore. So that's the nature of habit. Now, I'm sure that it gets easier, and every single day doesn't start with a fuck me moment. But when you stop waiting for it to get easy or fun or exciting, you can actually put your mind on things that will move the needle. So let's talk about the book and the message of the book. And then I would love for you to get into, like, you've completely started your business basically over from scratch. And part of this is related to COVID, and part of it is because it was the direction you were already moving yourself with the book. So tell us about Beyond Common and then the new business that you've created.
So Beyond Common, 12 Essentials for Success in Life in the Workplace, is basically, you know how a lot of female business owners, like, they struggle in, you know, they're struggling with business now more than ever. So I feel like I work to inspire and empower them to have the confidence in their life and business to look and feel their best so that they can make a bigger impact in the world. And I was doing that one-to-one for many years, like working with clients. Mm-hmm. But make a bigger impact, I almost had to like step back. And this is how I started my career. In the beginning, when I was like 18, I started working for a hair care manufacturer where I got to travel around the world and speak on stage. And then I would get hired to create these.
At 18?
I started like side by side following my mentors around, you know, and over time, over the next few years, then I would get hired into salon companies to like help them design their training programs. It just like, it fell into my lap. I mean, who knew? I was supposed to be going to college to be a psychologist. I just got this position offered. So I was like, on the job training, college, you know, I'll do that later. So it's just like, it kind of has taken me tenfold. So, you know, I wrote the book as that way to help more people that have a small business train people quickly. So it's almost like you never should hire someone again unless they've read this book. If you have them read the book, you're shrinking that learning curve of how to serve your clients at the greatest good, especially in this like new world of experience. It's like, who knew the book was written before that? But now in this like after COVID world,
it's perfect.
Experience is everything. So it's like to shorten the gap on no matter, like you could have a doctor's office, you could have a dental practice, you know, you could have a coaching business, you could have a salon, doesn't matter. Everybody needs to read this book like before their first day of work, because it shrinks the gap of what you have to work with them on. Expands their mind into understanding that no matter what we do for a living, we're here to serve our customer, you know, and you have to do it. Whether you're in the back, like on the computer, or you're front facing, it all does boil down to the customer experience. So that's what Beyond
Uncommon does. And you know, being uncommonly good at whatever you do, if you have the capacity for that, why wouldn't you? Like, why would you hold back? Why would you be common? Why would you be average? Why would you, and like you said before, Tracy, nobody actually aspires to be mediocre. But if you do not set the intention to be remarkable, it's the inevitable result. It is kind of the lowest common denominator that everybody kind of defaults to. And you got the book finished. You got the book launched. I have a copy. And then you went on and have a podcast by the same name. So who is the podcast for, the Beyond Common podcast?
So it's called Beyond Common Business Secrets. And we did that because I think that there's so many things that come up that are both life and business that nobody talks about. So it's more
about...
What's
an example? What's an example of that?
You know, like sometimes people think that in business, you have to be one way all the time, but then you go home and you're like a complete different person. So on Beyond Common Business, we're talking about, no, like if you don't take care of yourself, even when you don't feel like it, right? You don't take... But taking care of yourself,
especially when you don't feel like it,
right? Like taking care of yourself as the whole person is actually going to positively impact your business. You know, that's a secret nobody talks about. Even like what you said, like compartmentalizing your days, like you're going to be the CEO of your business. You're working on the business and not in it. You're going to have days that you know, are the designer or architect of your business. Then you might have days that you have to do like the paperwork and stuff that certain people, certain business types love that. And they're going to try to hide behind all the numbers, right? And maybe not be the front of house. So it's like identifying which characteristic you are and almost like the life cycle of your business. In every life cycle of a business and in every character role, there are secrets that need to be revealed, right? And so we just dive into those.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's very generous of you to give people a fast pass. It's similar to what I tell my clients, is that it literally took me decades to learn the things I'm going to share with you in the next 12 weeks, because my goal is to shave years off your learning curve. Life is short. Why struggle more than you need to? And I think we need to change our behaviors. We need to change our habits. We need to change some of the ways we show up. But we really need to change the way we think about what we're doing and embrace who we actually are. Like, can you imagine if you continued to think, I'm too much, and what I want and what I think is just not the way. I mean, like there's something wrong with the way I think. In fact, you remember when we first started working together, you must have said this at least two or three times in every coaching call. Does that make sense? Like you would explain something that was happening in your business and say, does that make sense? And after a couple of meetings, I called it out and, you know, I don't even think you realized, like you said it all the time. And I thought, wow, this woman really is accustomed to not being understood.
It was one of those things of always thinking ahead and always painting this huge visionary picture that I could see the glazed over looks on people's faces all the time. Like, I have no idea what you're saying. So I did get in the habit of saying, okay, does that make sense? And I remember you pointing that out to me. I'm like, oh, you're right. I did. Like, the more you pointed out to me, the more conscious I was in my daily life that I was like, oh my goodness. Okay. Well, a few years later, I had been working on that. You know, I had been working on that. I had been constantly trying to reframe that and almost make it humorous, where I would say, okay, so in my brain, there's all this stuff. Is that coming clear? Is that coming through? What did I just say? Because I need to understand it myself. And that softened it for a lot, especially like newer team members, because I think no matter what level of experience you have, if you have high intention of serving the greater good, I think there's like so much goodness that's shared from, you know, new people entering in. So we always want to create a space where they're comfortable to share their message. And, you know, I never want to be overpowering or intimidating. You need to like soften that. So making sure that everyone felt comfortable to have a voice. Well, fast forward to maybe 2 or 3 years later, I had, you know, someone I worked very close with, and she knows that I have like lots of thinking, and she was like more of an organized brain. And she loves that I say, does that make sense? Because sometimes she's totally confused. And if I don't pause, she's like, I'm never going to pull you back in. What did she say? You're like that kite that took off. Like, we can't. So it was something that worked for us, but I learned that doesn't work for everyone. So she came in one day and said, oh, on TikTok, there's a woman that said, hey, to stop sounding like a condescending bitch, don't say, does that make sense? And I was dying because I was like, that is, my heart was pure. My intention
was. What?
Right? So I was like, okay. So it was like such a journey to.
You're like, I'm cured. I'm cured, yeah, instantly.
It was such a journey to not say that and to make it humorous. And, you know, because you just never know. You never know what someone else's perception of what you say is. And you have to read all the cues because nobody's alike. So figuring out how to effectively communicate with all different types of people, it can't be a blanket statement. And I think I had been doing that for way too long, so you pointed it out. But it was just funny, like how long it took to actually fix it.
I think, honestly,
that was the fix to one problem, but then another one pops up from that statement.
Well, I think the notion of, you know, and I say this a lot, that from the time we're young, very young, we begin to notice when we're different from others around us. And pretty soon, people start pointing it out. If you are a very high energy, very chatty little girl, you're going to get feedback about that. I know you've gotten a lot of feedback about that. I've gotten a lot of feedback about that. And when you have a lot of ideas and you think really fast and you talk really fast and you talk a lot and you get very animated and very excited about the things that you're interested in and you love connecting with people and you love helping people, you love teaching people, guiding people, and because you are always interested in evolving and moving forward and being better, you love spreading that around to other people. But not everyone that you attract, not everyone that I attract can, quote unquote, keep up with that supercharged brain. Now, that's not a put down. It's not a put down, but it's expression of reality that our brains move at this super fast pace. And it's not just maybe in one direction. We might be going in several different directions at once. And because of our excitement and our desire to help and communicate and connect, we can literally overwhelm people with information and then feel like, oh, wait, what just happened? I remember the first coaching group that I launched. I had a small group of women, about 6 women for 6 weeks. And I was so eager and so excited. And by the end of the 6 weeks, I said, well, I'd love to get feedback from you guys. And every one of them said, it felt like it was 6 months worth of information. And I, of course, it's the typical thing of over-delivering because you just want to give so much. And what you realize is over-delivering feels like overpowering. And that's
the opposite of what you want. So like learning that you need to sort of fit to the tolerance level of other people. But I have a question for you, Tracy. I know that you were told a lot growing up, and even as an adult, you're a lot, or sometimes you're too much. And I know when I first met you, you believed that. It didn't seem like a belief. It felt like a statement of fact. Do you believe it now? Do you still believe that you're too much? And if not, what do you believe instead?
I believe I'm a force for good. So I've replaced it. I think for so long, I just tried to not be that, which did not, you know.
To suppress it?
Yeah, like, okay, I'm too much. So like, let me, like, something's wrong with me. I have to change it, right? I'm show up in the world exactly as the right amount for the given, you know, for the given moment. So I just had to replace it with, you know, I am a force for good. That works for me.
I love that.
Yeah. So I'm a force for good, but I am definitely,
and you don't need,
and I own it. It's
say
all good.
That again.
I'm definitely a force and I own it. It's all good.
You know, because I love that, because saying I'm a force for good, it acknowledges that you are a powerful, dynamic woman. You're not denying it. You're not suppressing it. You're not hiding it. You're not explaining it. You're not pretending it isn't true.
Yeah.
But that you couple that with your intention. Because mm-hmm. I've said sometimes I'm a force of nature or a force to be reckoned with, but taking ownership of the fact that you choose to be a force for good, I would imagine that that probably does a lot to counteract those feelings of shame that come up when we see the deer in the headlights look in the eyes of the people that we're talking to, and we realize there's a little bit of a disconnect between our energy level and their ability to take things in. But reminding yourself in that moment, I haven't done anything wrong. I'm not too much. I am a force for good. And I see that feedback, and I'm going to consciously dial down just a little bit so that all that goodness actually reaches its intended target instead of like knocking them back off their chairs.
Well, right. Because going back to what you were saying, it will still be forever in my nature as a force for good to want to overdeliver, to show up in the world in a beyond common way, but to do it in a way that meets someone's needs, right? That meets someone's needs and surprises them in a kind way, not feels like a fire hose, just knock them over, right? Like, so like you said, with your coaching, there's value into that 6 months of delivery. You know, that's like your next tier of your coaching program because it's valuable, right?
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, yes. So people that paid for this much, okay, they get this much, you'll still over deliver, but it doesn't feel like a fire hydrant. And that's been the blessing of sort of having that knowledge of working one-on-one with so many different types of women and people all these years, to then getting to step back and set up a new coaching program this way. It's funny that you said that, because I'm like, that's why. Like, I can over-deliver and still meet people where they are, where it doesn't feel like they're getting hit by a fire. More information.
A fire hose. So let's talk about the specifics before we wrap. Like, do you still have a beauty salon? Do you still have the salon?
So I have sold the salon, and now the sort of brand of the salon is now like Lavish Luxury Products. And in that division of the business, I still do coaching and training for salon owners and salon professionals. So, Yeah. So that's that.
And do
division.
You provide the products to them?
So we have, I feature like the products that I think are the best in the industry on our mm-hmm. website, so that people still have, you know, opportunity to do business with us. And I still make recommendations for that type of stuff. I kind of have always wanted to start my product line, so there's still space around that to do it at some point.
Mm-hmm. You're allowing room for future growth. So what was your previous business model? Just to be very clear, you had a very successful salon. You also were teaching in the industry and speaking on stage. And so what you have now is you no longer have the salon, but you have it sounds like you've got a coaching and consulting business where an arm of it continues to serve the beauty industry and the salon owners, and you make recommendations and cultivate and mentor them. But then the other part of it, the part that's probably really going to be growing and developing and you're enhancing with the book and the podcast, is that everything that you learned about growing a successful business from scratch can accelerate the progress of other small business owners in many different industries. And that's the part that I think it really has your heart and soul, because you realize these principles are transferable.
Exactly. And in my need to serve at the, you know, from the greatest good I can, is like, let's not have other people suffer the years that like I did, that you did. Let's shorten that learning curve. And so that's why we have Beyond Common coaching and training. So I have quite a few like online courses for people that just want to start getting, you know, their feet wet. Like they're more the DIY version. And then I have, you know, where you can work one-to-one. And in the future, I'll have a higher level mastermind for those business owners that have gone through the process, but still want to do more to elevate.
Yeah, you want to keep leveling up. Yeah, because what you realize is that after all these years of thinking that you can't do this and you can't do that, or you can only do this or that, once you realize that those limiting beliefs only held you back because you believed them, and you can swap them out for better beliefs, you're going to want to keep leveling up. I do, you do. I know you're working on another book. Is it too early to talk about that?
Well, I'll tell you this. So I'm working on another book with a group of 30 other women called Women Design that will be out in the late summer of this year. But I am working on a different fun thing to go with Beyond Common that won't be out till 2022. So that's still like a little hush hush. But the book of like the collaborative of women who shine, it's like based on the same stuff that I do, empowering women, their inspiring stories. So that is really exciting and fun. And I'm so honored to be a part of this project.
That's awesome. We'll make sure that we link to that in the show notes, because as you know, sometimes people listen to the episode right away and sometimes they won't listen to it for some time in the future. Now, you and I definitely going to be collaborating again and working together again. But for now, there will be people who will say, there's no way this woman has ADHD. She's so successful. She's so dynamic. She's so together. And she's just completely reinvented herself and her business and is obviously excited about the future. What do you think is the most important thing you've learned about being a woman with ADHD that has made the difference for you? Because literally the way I saw you before, you were still driving the race car. I mean, you are the race car. You were driving the race car, but you had the emergency brake on while driving. So it was like causing friction. And now you're just letting yourself go. So what do you think the most important thing that you are now thinking differently about yourself is to kind of rev things up and take off the brake?
You just made me think of, it's an Alanis Morissette song where she says, the moment I touched off of it is the moment I got everything. So I think that is it. It is being comfortable with the high speed of a race car and free falling into it when necessary. However, I have created structured things that allow me to think and point direction at a specific goal. And that's like what I train people on. So it's like, you don't have to have ADHD to feel overwhelmed. A lot of people just, so I think actually having it really helps me understand the whole psychology and physiology of the mindset. So I simplify it for anyone. Okay. If you want to get here and you're here, this gap is narrow. Just do these five things. That's it. So I think just by leaning into it, like what you're really good at, which for me, it's like seeing that gap. I'm really good at that. So I can help people.
Yeah. I think that was the instant connection between us, is the struggle is you see where you are, you see where you want to be. You just want to close the gap. And once you know how, You want to help as many people as you can. So thank you so much for being my client, for being my guest, for being in my life, and for inspiring me.
Well, thank you, Diane. I appreciate that so much. You do all of that for me. So yes, you're a definite force for good as well.
Thank you. I accept that. Okay, folks, that's a wrap. Thanks for joining me on the Driven Woman podcast and our very special guest, Tracy Watserino. All the links will be in the show notes so that you can find her, follow her, and you got to listen to that podcast too, and maybe even buy the book. That's all for today, folks. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, it's Diane. Can I be honest with you? At the beginning of each new year, I always told myself, this is the year I'm going to get my habits dialed in. This is the year I'm going to be crystal clear about my goals and I'm going to crush them. This is the year I'm going to get my shit together on every level and I'm going to do it all by myself. Been there, done that, got a whole stack of t-shirts. But you know, it wasn't until I started working with my own coach that I realized what a difference it makes to have guidance, support, and accountability from someone who's not only like-minded, but like-brained. Yeah, I'm talking about another driven woman, entrepreneur, who also has ADHD and has got it going on. I have two openings in my signature one-on-one 12-week coaching program, and one of them might have your name on it. There's a link to a free consult with me in the show notes if you think this might be the year that you really get serious and go all in on an ADHD-friendly business and life. While you're thinking about that, have a listen to what one of my client's success stories has to say about the difference it made to work with me.
Well, one thing that you helped give me insight on is how sensitive I am. And because I'm an empath, being in traffic and loud noises throughout the day, just getting to home, that alone was really draining. And now working from home, it's like I'm able to conserve that energy. And working with the parents to really teach them kind of concepts and bigger things that have a bigger impact. Which is one thing that you also mentioned was because I was working so much, I didn't have time to do the things that were meaningful to me. And that included learning, getting into the grind. You kind of just like, okay, well, I'm just going to do instead of really stepping back and looking at more strategic ways to have, a longer term plan.
You've been listening to the Driven Woman podcast with Diane Wingert. Want more straight talk and strategy each week that will take you from spinning to winning? Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you won't miss a single episode. Then head on over to the Driven Woman free and private Facebook group community. See you there.